forgive me, Lord. One more time. I wanna feel your love, Lord. I wanna feel your arms open wide for me. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I lift up everyone in this room to you, Father God, and I thank you for their lives. If there's any worry about money, illness, health, concerns, relationship issues, arguing, money problems, Father God, worried about a job, worried about a house, worried about how you're going to pay the bills. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we just leave it right at the foot of the cross right now. I don't want to worry about it. I can't worry about payroll. I can't worry about my family. How I know, Father God, that you're going to take care of us. I will not allow the enemy to make me worry any longer. Look back over the last 10 years, Father God, how you've pulled me out of everything, Lord. How you've pulled us out of all the problems. Why do we still worry? I pray that we leave all the worry right at the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray that those with ears can hear the word of God tonight. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you use me to teach tonight, Father God. I pray, Father God, that nothing in the flesh, Lord, nothing in the flesh comes through, Father God. Only your word, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you so much for this group. I thank you so much for those that came tonight, Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that those with issues and problems and concerns and worries, Lord, that they find the peace that only you can give, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
No problem. I'm sorry that I didn't come prepared. I'm going to pray for a worship leader because I don't think that the person that's doing the teaching should leave
with one hand.
Oh my gosh. Another one bites the dust. There was a price to quitting smoking. And
yeah. The spoon got bigger.
It was an extra 50 pounds. But if you're wondering why there's... No, I'm just kidding. That one's broken. But tonight's teaching... everybody can grab a Bible. But tonight's teaching is going to be on a very, very special subject. And I thought it would be a special subject tonight because tonight is the first night of Seattle Revival. And our mission here is to just follow the Word of God. I just want to reach out to non-believers in Seattle. I don't want to go after people that already know Christ. I want to go after people that don't know Christ. I want to go after people that haven't been saved, that are in torment and misery, people like me. I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. I didn't think that God wanted me to do any of this because it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to build huge Christian.coms or something that I thought would cool that would be lifting me up if God isn't in it, God is not in it. You can go to my MySpace page today, myspace.com/fellfishermusic, and I've got 20 million downloads, but it just wasn't in the cards. God did not want me to be a musician, and it hurt me, and it bugged me, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I was avoiding evangelism like the plague because I did not. It was embarrassing for me to get up on a stage and speak about Jesus Christ.
especially one-on-one, or especially in the most liberal city in the world. I mean, if Seattle's not the most liberal city in the world, maybe Amsterdam is, I don't know, but, you know, there's a saying here in Seattle, if you can bring someone to Christ in Seattle, you can bring someone to Christ anywhere. And so this is the first day of Seattle Revival. I pray that God brings me a worship leader and a worship team and a building and all that stuff. We're going after the lost in Seattle, and I work hard like Paul did. I own my own company, and I take the money from that company, and I fund God's ministry, but I still am very loyal to my church, and I tithe to my church. So tonight's teachings on Christianity, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. This is an amazing scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, and this is what it says. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that this pleasure is from the hand of God, for who can eat or enjoy anything apart from Him? Amen?
Amen.
Purpose, happiness, joy, commitment. These are the things we seek and give us a reason for living. But no matter how hard we search, it seems we're never happy. We feel empty. We feel scared. We feel defeated. We feel frustrated. I know this feeling well. My testimony is really sad. I really didn't experience true happiness until I met my wife when I was in my 30s, my mid-30s, and I grew up in small little wilderness towns of Alaska and the Yukon, and I worked on fishing boats, and I basically was out on my own at a very young age in life. I had a really hard life. I've been shot, I've been stabbed, I have just, in the wilderness of the Yukon in Alaska, it's very, very dangerous, and it's not a nice little town, Anchorage or Dawson City or Whitehorse for that matter. And I dropped out of eighth grade. I went to summer ninth, but I just never went back. My counselor told me I wouldn't really amount to anything. I had a low self-esteem. I just by the time I was 12 years old, I was a wreck. I had been to 23 different schools. I had been in and out of schools, and I come from a broken home, several really bad situations. I don't want to talk about here, but most people know as my testimony. But I grew up in a very dangerous area of town, and I learned to become like a bad guy. Even though I wasn't a bad guy, I became a bad guy to survive, and I moved to the lower 48, to Portland, and started a private investigations company. Not because it's what I wanted to do, it's because it was the only thing that didn't require a surety bond. I didn't have to be licensed and bonded for that at the time, and that's why I wanted to. I did it because it was the only thing I could do. Nobody would hire me. I couldn't get a job. I didn't have a high school diploma, let alone a college diploma. So I was always scraping by, trying to be self-employed. And it was just very, very scary, it's a very long story, my testimony, but, I was cigarettes, good-looking women, and Jack Daniels. I had some luck in the music industry. I became very successful in South America, and I had I was in kind of a little cult band, Phil Fisher, and I had some success in music, so I fell into the sin of drinking, women, cigarettes. I really didn't do the hard drugs. I didn't like them. To me, there was just nothing. I smoked a lot of pot, and I just, fell in and out of sin and stuff all the time. And I was just living a very, very horrible life. And one day, my wife brought me to church, and there was this guy who was preaching. His name was Pastor Lau. And those of you in the medical profession in Seattle, Dr. Varun Lahaprasad, and I was interested in going to this church because he didn't take any money. He was a neurosurgeon. And I was like, wow, okay. Because all I was used to was people pounding me on TV every time I turn on the Christian channel for money. And I started going to church and I ended up getting saved, ended up marrying this girl. And now God has blessed me with an amazing home, an amazing family, an amazing wife, an amazing life, and amazing friends. And I just want to share this with everybody. So, you know, the term Christianity doesn't even appear in the Bible. You won't even find it anywhere. And the actual word Christians was actually a bad word. It was a word Gentiles used to talk down to people that believed in Jesus. It was an insult. Let's go to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. This is a great scripture. I love Acts because that's really where it all started. The four Gospels are the word of Christ. Acts is when they put it into motion when Jesus wasn't physically around. And I love Acts because of that. And it's very, very powerful. But Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That's when they were first called Christians. They used it to badmouth followers of Christ. It was actually meant to be little Christs.
In fact,
authentic Christians have always been people who have had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ based entirely on faith. It is a relationship that results in a lifestyle that pleases God. So our relationship with Jesus, the lifestyle that we have, how we live our life, how we interact with people, every decision that we make every single day, when we keep Jesus on our mind, it becomes a relationship between us and Jesus Christ. And we begin to just glow with light. And people see us, people see this, you could feel it. You can feel the favor. And that's how other people ask you about your life and you bring other people to Christ. But unfortunately, a lot of us don't keep Jesus in everything every day. I know that I don't, okay? And I want to, but it's very, very difficult. As Christianity began to develop, I mean, from the moment they pounded nails into Jesus' flesh, Christianity has survived and flourished through the centuries. It survived the Roman Empire, the great empires of Eurasia. It survived the Three Kingdoms and the Han Dynasty. It even survived the Mongol invasion of the Middle East, the Islamic empires of India, and it even survived the Maya and Inca civilizations. Christianity has survived these centuries, but the original gospel and the words that our Savior spoke has taken on many forms and expressions. And this change, and a lot of the elders of the church believe this is because of the generational curse, which is an attempt by Satan to break up the church into little pieces, because Satan knows that the body of Christ is very powerful. So Satan broke up the church into little pieces, and that's called the denominational curse. Because Satan knows together their strength, so he's trying to break the church up. This continual changing and watering down of the word to support, someone's agenda has been going on for so long, that to those in one tradition, like if you've just been a Catholic or you've just been a Baptist or if you've just been a Protestant, you know, seeing the worship styles and structure of other traditions seems strange, foreign, and weird, you know, and sometimes it's even wrong. I mean, I have been, traveling and, you know, you go to other churches and stuff and I have family that's actually kind of, I have an uncle that's a deacon in San Diego for the Catholic Church. And, you know, when I go to attend Catholic Church, you know, there's the rising up, the sitting down. You know, one becomes under the impression that it's some sort of like religious activity. When I go and visit, you know, a Baptist church, and I see the way that they worship and stuff, you know. When I go and visit like a Protestant church and I see the way they worship and stuff, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can talk about, like right and wrong and all this kind of stuff, but all we need to do is go back to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. All we need to do is listen to the four precious gospels. That's all we need to do. Our ministry in churches must not be evaluated by whether we are comfortable with them, but rather by how closely they really reflect the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's all that's important. And the general patterns of worship established by those who knew him the best. You know, the heart of Christianity is about personal relationship with Jesus. There is a misconception in referring to different denominations like Catholics or Baptists or Lutherans as different religions. They are not different religions. They are varying expressions of the teachings laid out in the Bible combined with history, tradition, culture, and different, you know, emphasis. To the degree that these streams are faithful to Jesus Christ, they represent a beautiful diversity within the unity established by Jesus, even though they may not worship or structure themselves in the same way. You know, a lot of people complain about these big mega churches coming up and, you know, paid worship teams and all this kind of stuff. I personally could not get paid to worship Jesus. But, you know, many of these large churches do so much good for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, there are many large churches that I know of that do so much good, and overseas, in Uganda, in different parts of South Africa. I know a church that's on fire for Christ in Laos that spends an incredible amount of money, millions of dollars over there. So, you know, it's very easy for us to want to judge other denominations and stuff, but there is good and bad to every denomination of Christ, you know, and we have to really concentrate on focusing on the good stuff, you know, and not the bad stuff. My mother-in-law, Mary Jo, has a saying, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones. And I never knew what she meant by that until I asked That's Neil good. One time.
I like it.
And it was like, you know what? Chew the meat and spit out the bones. Take the stuff you're receiving from the Holy Spirit, and the rest of it is just junk. Because the Holy Spirit, when they anoint a teacher or a prophet or a worship leader, and they begin speaking the word of Christ under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can feel it. It's like vapor coming out to you. It's like a holy word. It's like honey to your ears. You want to hear more of it. It like soothes the soul. I mean, you can be in complete crisis and hear the word of God, and it's like a warm blanket that wraps around you. But then he or she maybe start talking about something else, because the anointing will leave that person. When the cloud and the anointing goes away, so does the word of God. I mean, that's why you have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Amen? Mm-hmm. So Christianity, and this teaching is intro to Christianity, is the ongoing living expression of Christ's work in the world. It represents God's successful purposes in rescuing mankind from sin and providing his children with eternal life. If you're empty inside and you want to feel the love of Christ, if you are tired of living alone, if you're scared, if you're frightened, or if you want to come to know Jesus, you know, I want you to make the following decisions. You know, in order to know Christ, I want you to understand a few things. Are you hungry? Are you wanting to know Christ? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Are you hungry? Are you wanting to know Christ?" I mean, you can talk about it. You can tell your friends about it. You can write on Facebook about it. But do you really want to repent of your sins? And that means thinking of everything that you've done wrong, getting on your knees and asking God for forgiveness. And true repentance comes from the heart. I don't believe that you have to repent in front of a congregation of people. I believe that you can repent in the privacy of your own room
with
the door closed.
Prayer closet.
And I think that you can just, you know, like, I'm going to repent right now. This is embarrassing, but I want to do this because I want you guys to understand that this is real. I repent today for being rude to this guy on the phone. Our phone systems were down at work today, and I called him screaming, and I want to repent for that. I need to write him an email and apologize for that. I want to repent to the guy that I dropped off the ministry Suburban to today to repair, because I really told him I needed it back in a hurry, and I think he's going to, like, put it ahead of somebody else's car, and I kind of lied because I really don't need it back in a hurry. I have another car to drive. I mean, I repent, you know, for the way that I treated my wife last night. I was upset with her because I just wanted some alone time because I had a rough week and stuff, and it was her night to put the kids down, you know, because we all play a little game, me and the kids, you know, we have Bible study, and then we worship God, and then then they milk it, so it's turned into a big, like, hour-long ordeal every night.
And they can stay up longer.
Amen. So, yeah. But they worship hardcore, and they say prayers, but, you know, last night was my night off, you know, not that I need a break from Jesus, but I just guess I needed a break from them milking me for that, and I got mad at her, and I need to repent for that. You know, and so I just want to pray for that right now. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, I just repent for lying to the guy about the Suburban, Lord. I really don't need it back in a hurry. I repent, Father God, about being rude. I was a bad representative of you, Father God, on the phone today. And Lord, I deeply apologize, Father God, about the way that I treated my wife. Please forgive me, Lord. So that is what we're talking about. Are you hungry? Are you ready to repent? You know, because we're born sinners. I mean, sinning comes to us naturally. And every single problem we experience in society today, every single problem that you have, every single issue that you have, a home that's gone, a wife that's gone, a husband that's gone, you know, a family that's gone, vehicles that are gone, problems that you're facing at your job, problems that you're facing at work, everything can be traced back to our refusal to live God's way. And it's really sobering when you begin to think about it. So we're just going to say a prayer. I'm really glad you guys came, because it would have just been me if you guys didn't show up. And I mean, I just want to, like, now I can say, you know, well, you know, 20 years from now, well, when God started this ministry, there was two people that showed up. You know, that's a lot better than saying it used to be just me, you know. So that's pretty much the teaching right there. That's the intro of Christianity. Next week it'll be trials and tribulations, which will be really interesting.
Hopefully next time it'll be two non-believers.
Amen. So maybe there'll be five of us with two non-believers.
It's kind of a practice run for you.
Amen, amen. So let's say a prayer. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus, for those that came tonight. Father God, thank you so much, Lord. I just lift them up to you. I pray, Father God, that whatever their worries and concerns and needs are, Father God, that you will just take care of them, Father God. I pray, Lord, that they will get to know you, Father God, better, Father God. I pray, Lord, that they will push in. I pray, Father God, they will pray to you, Lord, every single day, Father God, and they'll try to know you in a better way. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you like it? Amen. That's good.